The Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast features people from the real estate community sharing real stories about their struggles, pains, and even losses during their own real estate journey. We share these real experiences so you can learn from them and build a successful journey of your own. Now, here's your host, Cody Lewis, one of the managing partners at Vindu Capital, located in Charleston, South Carolina.
Everyone, and welcome back to the show. I got to tell you, I'm really excited and honored to have on our guest today. She is the founder of Real Estate Investor Goddesses, Miss Monique Holm. Monique, how are you today? Thanks for joining us.
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Cody.
Yeah, thanks for taking some time out of the schedule. I know everything's been incredibly busy for you guys, so thank you. For those that are maybe hearing your name for the first time, give us a little bit about where you're from, how you got into real estate, and what kind of real estate you find yourself in these days.
Sure. Well, I live in Los Angeles, though I grew up in the Washington, D.C. area in Maryland. I got into real estate completely by accident. I was not something that I grew up with, knew anything about. I was just told growing up that to be successful, you could be a doctor, lawyer, professor, engineer. Like that was success. And I was a good student, dutiful daughter. Of those choices, law seemed like the best fit, so I became a lawyer. It's like a default thing. I was very unhappy as a lawyer, but that's a whole other discussion for a different podcast. But the only thing I had been told about real estate was that I should buy my own house. And at one point, I went to do that, but I live in Los Angeles, which is a super expensive market. Back in 2005, when I was looking for that first property, even though I had a decent job as a lawyer working in a big law firm, a starter home in a semi-decent neighborhood, we're not talking about a mansion in Bel Air or Beverly Hills, but just a semi-decent neighborhood where I wasn't likely to have drive-by shootings, I was looking at upwards of $500,000, $600,000 for a starter home. And so I couldn't do that by myself or alone. So what I ended up doing was house hacking before I knew that was a thing. So I ended up getting a duplex. It was technically a duplex with a converted garage in the back that I was able to rent out as well. So I was in one of the units, rented out the upstairs, rented out the back house, even rent out my basement. And I house hacked before I knew that was a thing. And then when I met my husband, he had a duplex. We got a single family rental together. After the market crash in 2008, we actually ended up short selling one property and selling another. We used proceeds from that to start flipping. So we started flipping, and then we found out about syndication, bringing groups of investors together to purchase larger properties. And that's what I've been doing since 2016. Along with my investors, we have a little over 1,300 rental doors across 10 states and mostly multifamily, but we also have some industrial properties that we've been investing in this past couple years, single family portfolio, RV park, and a mobile home park.
That's awesome. And it's good to hear. I mean, it sounds like you have a pretty divested portfolio of real estate stuff, but it's really interesting. I think speaking from somebody in South Carolina, anytime we hear somebody's from LA, we just assume you're in Beverly Hills, right? That's just where everyone lives in LA, right? It's just that one condensed area. You know, it's kind of funny or crazy to hear about you fell into house hacking kind of accidentally, like you said. You know, some people grow up with that kind of stuff and that's what they jump into it. But it's really interesting to hear how just kind of the terms and the way the market is in LA kind of put you into real estate and really sounds like shifted your career into a different trajectory. But I would imagine with all your success and all the things that you have under your belt now, all the different properties and asset classes, it probably hasn't always been easy. And that's what we brought you on here today to talk to us and our audience about. So what comes to mind that maybe sharing with our audience to help educate them on things that maybe could go wrong or things that have gone wrong in your career?
Oh, okay. This is a good topic. And I was thinking, which one do I choose? So one of the first syndications I did, syndications, essentially crowdfunding real estate. And I was buying we bought a couple of apartment buildings in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And there was, we bought one in particular in this one area that looked to be really up and coming. So we thought we were buying, well, here's the first mistake. never buy in an area that they call the war zone part of town. And I thought it was past that because right across the street was a new Starbucks. There was a new Planet Fitness, and it looked like it was across from a hospital. It looked like the area was turning around, and I wasn't just completely idiotic about it all, but there were other buildings. There was another building just a block away that looked like it had been turned around and was getting decent rent. So we thought, okay, there's possibility here, and the neighborhood looks like it's changing. So let's buy in right now and help change it along. It was definitely not changed enough. So we thought we were getting a C area, and it was a little more D plus than we would have hoped. So the day, our property managers didn't tell us until after we signed, but the night before we actually signed for that building, there was a shooting at the property. Luckily, it wasn't technically at the property, it was just at the corner where the property was located. But it was officially it was not on our property, but somebody got shot and then somebody tried to break out. So they came back like a week later, shot at one of the buildings. Our property manager had a gun put on him. There was we had fires there. We had I remember Valentine's Day, a couple broke into one of our empty units, and our property managers came in the next morning on February 15th, found rose petals and hypodermic needles on the ground. It was just every week I'd talk to our property managers and I'd kind of like hide my eyes a little bit or like shutter my ears, just waiting for what was the next thing. And we put in a lot of work to change the culture and of that building. It worked to some extent. So, I remember going back there and having tenants go, "Oh, you're the owner. We're so grateful. Actually, I feel like my kids can play outside in the yard for the first time." And or another one said, "Oh, my mom's going to be moving in to that a unit over there." So that was good for a while, but we needed really strong property management. And then one of our good property manager left, and then it went downhill again. So it was a really tough deal. And it was only, I feel like, through the intervention of God, I prayed. And then I was like, "Please, God, like, help us with this property. Help us be able to sell it, because our NOI, there was like the occupancy was falling, the NOI was going down. We'd used up a lot, most of our CapEx, trying to fix it up and putting security fences out, but the tenants kept putting rocks to leave the gates open. It was just like all of these things that we could not get the culture to change. And then there was this 1031 exchange buyer from California that came in that was willing to pay us a 4 cap on this property. Yay. So that was that literally, it was a miracle. So we got out of there profitably. I wish him so well with that property, because it was a tough one.
Yeah. Listen, for those that are listening to this in their car or wherever you listen to this podcast, I know it's audio only. I spent most of that time just with my hand over my mouth in shock. I can't imagine what it was like to live through that. I mean, I would imagine every time you saw an email from your property manager that it was like your heart sank, wondering what it was you were going to open and find.
Yep. Yeah, every time. Sometimes it was funny. Sometimes it was just like a funny one was the time that we had a tenant that said, "I can't pay rent." This older guy, he was sweet. He'd been there for like a few years, and he's like, he'd been there, I think, 5 or 6 years. I was like, "I can't pay rent this month." But he goes, "Next month, I'm going to be able to pay for the whole year, because I have this, I didn't know, but I have an uncle in Nigeria. I was just found out." He'd gotten that email. Like, you wonder, like, who falls for this?
No one falls for that.
It actually, people do. It was what, it was our tenant, like that guy. He fell for that, and he gave all his basically like 2 months worth of rent to get like, you know, the $10 million that was on its way. Poor guy. So we worked with him to like, pay it off. But oh man, it was just nonstop. It was nonstop every day. There was something every day.
Well, I would imagine after going through something like that with any other property that you brought on board, everything probably paled in comparison to the challenges that you faced there. So while I would imagine the lessons learned were incredibly painful at the time in going through those experiences, I would imagine having to deal with those on a daily, weekly, whatever basis really bolstered your knowledge and how to handle tough situations for your future properties. And walking away from those types of experiences.
Well, one thing I learned was that it's definitely for me, those types of, D, even C minus, that's not where I want to invest. So there, it's possible to do better if you have very, very, very strong property management. But I decided, you know, I really want to be in solid B class, more affluent areas where people have savings, where people can, you know, and it's definitely our C class. Even if we had C class portfolio of single families, and during COVID, it was our B class was fine. Most of them could work from home. Most of them had savings. They were able to weather the storm. Our collections went down a tiny bit, but in our C class, people heard rent eviction moratorium, and they took that to mean rent moratorium, and a lot of them stopped paying rent. And in the single family houses, they were not quite as much drama as in the apartment building, but still, I realized that hard way that I prefer to be in B class.
Well, and that's a hard lesson to learn, but it's a valuable lesson to learn that you fully understand where you want to be with all your properties moving forward. And that is as valuable as any other financial aspect that you're going to gain from any of the properties, I would imagine, because you can now most likely quickly look at a property, assess how you do on what class property it is, and quickly move on from certain ones that don't meet your criteria.
Exactly. I learned a lot. I have some great stories and some hard knocks, but now I know where I want to focus and what I don't want to do.
Well, if you don't mind me asking, and you don't have to go into too much detail if you don't want to, but I would be interested because it seems like some information people use is just a little different in how you evaluate properties as far as like evaluating what class they fit into you. What are maybe a few key metrics that you look at when you're evaluating properties that would tell you, is it maybe a class B or class C or anything else in your eyes?
Yeah. So partly there's just driving around and seeing what's around and what are the local stores and shops. And so in the C class, you're more likely to have the check cashing places, the liquor stores and things like that, or B class is other, you know, that more likely to see a Target or, you know, nicer retail, right? And then in terms of other data, crime rates, I didn't focus enough on the crime in the area when in that property in Albuquerque. And if I'd really looked closely there, I'd see that it was a lot higher crime than in some other areas. So crime rates is a good metric. Schools, local schools, so the better the school, you go the great school score, the higher the school rating, typically the better the neighborhood. You're much more likely to be in a, you know, in the B class, you're more likely to have schools in the 7, 8, 9 range versus if you're seeing schools in the 2, 3, 4 range, it's more likely to be C class. Those are metrics, you know, the income of the average income of the residents in that area.
Perfect. Yeah. No, I think those are some really great metrics to look at. I think many people overlook some of the crime aspect when we're looking at different properties and areas to invest in. I've heard schools a lot. I've heard some people, to your point, say they only want to be so far away from a Target or maybe like a Starbucks or something like that, depending on what their criteria are. But I think those are all key metrics and incredibly valuable for those that are looking at multifamily or maybe even single family. Take all the data in and make a good educated guess on what that area looks like. And do you feel comfortable investing in it? Monique, I can't thank you enough for coming on today and helping us out, educating us and telling us about some of the cringeworthy stories that you dealt with. So maybe we can educate ourselves to, if we don't feel comfortable in those types of properties, not to invest in them so we don't have to deal with them. But for those that would want to follow up, maybe even work with you in the future, where's the best place for folks to find you at and connect with you?
The best place to go is reigoddesses.com. REI for real estate investor, goddesses.com. And there you can connect with, and we're at REI Goddesses on most of the socials too. So you can find me there.
Perfect. And we'll list a bunch of those in the show notes for everyone to take a look at. But Monique, I can't thank you enough for coming on. I know you, like I said, in the top of the show, you're incredibly busy. We're super humbled to have you on. So thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely. And we will see everyone next time.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast with Cody Lewis. Be sure to subscribe today on your favorite podcasting platform so you can catch every episode of the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast.